I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Tana Talk Soccer Podcast. I am Tana. And today, you know, I'm going to be talking about the Champions League final. Manchester City versus Inter Milan. Manchester City have their hands on their first ever Champions League. Ooh, wow, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, from a Liverpool fan's perspective, as a Liverpool fan, however, I'm not best pleased, you know. They've grown into our rivals over the past, in recent times, and of course I'm not rooting for them and their success, but from another angle, you can even say I feel like it was almost inevitable, because if year after year they keep on being such a force, like being such a good team, and you know, of course they have the spending power, of course there's a lot of talk about of their corruption and the charges and this, that. To be honest with you guys, I haven't ever bothered to go deep into Manchester City's corruption charges and things like that. I don't know if I should have, but it's like, so if you come to me and ask me what you think about City, they're corrupt, I mean, like, yeah, like, everyone knows that, okay, yeah, this guy's maybe just cutting corners or whatever, but in terms of the details, and in terms of do they deserve to be competing here, or blah, blah, whatever, like, the discussion that really goes around as regards City financial doping, the 115 different charges that put up against them, I have nothing to say, you know. But, of course, what I choose to talk about is just the football side. I'm not trying to say that people talking about this are wrong or they are silly or whatever. No, I just haven't been asked enough to do it. You know, but let's talk football, right? I feel like City played their worst game ever and won the Champions League finally, you know, and that just shows you football. When I mean worst game ever, City weren't bad, but at best they were like, well, okay, you get me. Yeah, both teams actually started in a very funny way, actually, because they both looked good enough for each other, and that's what I want to start with, talking about Inter Milan and how they came into this, how Inzaghi set up. It was very, very, very impressive, you know, with the usual 3-5-2, you know, they covered spaces well. Even though, like, at the start of the game, even from the first 10-15 minutes, I was already tweeting, Inter Milan are playing with nerves. And, of course, if you play football, you know when footballers are playing with nerves. The touches, the, you know, the overthinking, the decisions, things like that, the body shape, the body language, these things. And Manchester City, on the other hand, and they weren't particularly playing like they were playing with nerves, but also they weren't particularly getting things right in the final third. So it was kind of that kind of game. But the way Inter set up, the way they choked the midfield, you know, DeMarco, Cianoglu, Brozovic, Barella, and Dumfries, you know, like, there weren't too many times where I was like, oh my goodness, look at this gaping hole. So that's massive credits to Inzaghi for putting out a side that can compete. You know, massive, massive credit to Simeone and Inzaghi. His team were there to compete. In fact, I think they were the best side on the day. But again, that just shows you what football is all about. Like, you know, Man City have played games and gotten knocked out by lesser teams where they just, for some reason, didn't put the ball in the back of the net. you know, missed chances, sitters. And talking about sitters, we're going to get into one very soon, one that has, of course, is making rounds on social media. One particular guy, he's a brother, right? Yeah, I'm going to get to that. But yeah, it's theirs now. And social media, your agendas, you know, Pep can't win without this, can't do this. It's over. Man City just didn't win the Champions League. They also won a treble. That's just making them join a select few teams that have done that. You know, I'm pissed. I'm being honest. I don't like the fact that Manchester City have done that. But, you know, at the same time, as I said, like, if season in, season out. Like, next season again, they're going to come into next season as the favorites to win the league. They've done that every season. Even Guardiola's first year, like, people were giving him a lot of stick for not winning his first season. You know, since Pep Guardiola came to Manchester City, Manchester City season in, season out have been favorites to go on and win everything. They've almost done that, actually. They've not, but almost done it, you know. So next season again, same thing. And if you just maintain consistency, you're gonna get there, you know. Now, speaking of Inter Milan and what happened with them yesterday, because I feel like for Manchester, they both teams gave a lot of effort. Actually, I'm not just even say only Inter Milan. Manchester gave a lot of effort. Inter gave a lot of effort. In the opening half, for example, right, there's a lot that wasn't working out for Inter, which I will come into, I will analyze very soon. But you couldn't fault them on effort, and I feel like that's why both teams could contain each other. Like, of course, like shape-wise and tactically, both teams were set up in a very good way where there was not really too much to exploit. You know, too much to exploit in terms of tactically, in terms of overload, in terms of both teams match each other very well. But they were working hard. Lautaro Martinez was working really hard on the ball. A lot wasn't working for him, but he was pressing, was closing down channels, was winning some battles, you know. And that was good. And Manchester City, on the other hand, too, like, we know the passion they play with. This doesn't get talked about a lot, but my goodness, me, Manchester City play with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. They work great, you know. So that was what it was. But on the Inter end, I feel like they had more openings, you know, in terms of situations that they couldn't convert to big chances or even chances per se at all in the first half. And as I said, my interpretation, nerves, they were nervy, their touches were sticking, you know. Like, you do very good from the defensive phase to the offensive phase, and all of a sudden you lose your brains, you know. That kept happening over and over again. And the thing about football is, like, there's a slim line between being a calm guy, you know, like, I don't know, like a Leo Messi, and then a Cavani, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking in terms of finishing, just looking at, because there's instinctive and there's someone who has enough patience to almost seed out his way, you know what I'm saying? There's a thin line, because a lot of the time as well, Leo Messi is instinctive. He's going to take that whatever shot first time, you know. And Inter Milan were overthinking every single thing, you know. There was knockdowns from your centre forward where he knocks it down, attacking the 6 yard, like, put in the first time ball, you know. If there's people willing to attack the box, people willing to attack the 6 yard box, because at the end of the day, things happen, you know. Like, you have to put it in there, you know. You have to put it in there to try to score, you know. They overthought so many. There were so many situations where you see your centre forward in the box along with one, two midfielders. You know what I'm saying? And you have Edin Dzeko. He's a man mountain. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had the pleasure of watching him before. He's so big. Like, ooh, put it in there. You know how talented he is up there. You know what he does with his head, you know? So put it in. I'm not telling you to chug in meaningless crosses 500 times a game, but there were situations where, honestly, just put the ball in. You know what I'm saying? There are situations where if you had Kevin De Bruyne, you know what I'm saying, about the best midfielder in the world, right, he's going to put it in for his strikers, because there's that situation, there's space between the keeper and the last line of defense. There's space in the 6 yard box to attack. You can even see the height difference that Dzeko has on the defenders. Puts it in, and time again they hesitate. Like, and I'm talking about good crossing, sweet situations. They hesitate, and then they play a pass too many. You hesitate, and you're like, you're just overthinking it. You know what I'm saying? Play your football. And then, by the way, see the annoying thing? They actually finally still put those balls in, but just when it was too late and from absurd angles. So you just have put it in anyway, you know. And that kept happening. You know, City, on the other hand, you can see their best chance of the first half came from Bernardo Silva, you know, driving, cutting it to his left foot. I mean, the angle was quite difficult, and he couldn't quite get the bend he wanted on it. The second half, I expected, what I said was, if Inter could come out and not concede in the first 15 minutes, you know, then they stand a chance, 100%. You know, because what happens with Manchester City a lot is, like, I'm sure Pep Guardiola, of course, would have been underwhelmed with the first half. You know, they weren't terrible, but it wasn't the best. You know, even before KDB went off, he wasn't the best as well. You know what I'm saying? So many, like, misplaced crosses. It wasn't just, like, you know, like, a lot of players weren't actually on the races the day, that day. So, yesterday, I mean, so it's like, yeah, Pep would have given them the ball lock in, you know, he would have given it to them. And Man City comes out raging, and then in no time, you can see they go, and then it's downhill for there from there. I've seen that movie too many times. But Inter basically showed Man City still that we are here to compete. We can. And at the end of the day, Inter created more chances than Manchester City. The introduction of Romelu Lukaku, of course, is an interesting one. Eddie Dzeko looked, I don't know, cramped up, knackered, whatever. He had to come off, right? Lukaku came in. You know, this is the moment. This is the moment for, I think, in Lukaku's head, right? In Lukaku's head, let's be honest, let's be real, because anyone who's played football at any level at all, or like, let me say, at the competitive level, you know that you dream, you know, before a big game, you're dreaming, oh wow, what if I score the winner? What if this happens? Maybe if you're a defender, you're dreaming about your having a goal line clearance, for example, last ditch tackle to save your team in the final minute. You know, you're dreaming about moments that will give you adrenaline. You cannot tell me that Romelu Lukaku playing in the Champions League final, you know, for the first time, wasn't thinking, wow, ball falls to me, pull it in, immortalized. Because mind you, Lukaku won Scudetto for Inter two seasons ago. Oh, sorry, I don't know if you're calling this, I just finished this, or whatever, 2 seasons ago, 3 seasons ago, whatever, like, it depends on what you're calling. Let us not forget that. So winning the Champions League for Inter Milan, he's actually, like, I feel like he's well within his rights to be called, I mean, a legend, you've got to stay or whatever, but like, he's got a super Inter Milan legacy, you know, if he managed to do that. So you cannot tell me, right, that Romelu Lukaku wasn't dreaming of goals in the Champions League final. Wait, the team sheets came out. Of course, the players don't know the team sheets when they know away before. So, you know, he's known from time that, okay, he's not starting, because of course Simeone and Zaghi is working with his players. They're gonna start. Yet, you get what I'm saying? He knows he's not gonna start. Cool. Now, I can't lie. Dreaming from the bench sometimes, it'd be, how do I say, it's actually, the dreams are actually more vivid from the bench. I'm not even gonna lie, because you know the feeling of coming on, get me, coming on, and you get me, coming on and then nicking it for your team, coming on and just changing the game. Like, you can never, like, I can, like, for example, right, you go to Liverpool and Gini Wijnaldum substitution, that substitution, like, he can't, like, the meme of him jogging in, and you see the, what's it called, the distinct, the slide under Gini Wijnaldum in and Robertson out. It's an immortalized image. You know what I'm saying? And coming in from the bench, scoring, you know, that's like dreams, actually. Lukaku came in, and from almost the first, let's give credit where it's due, right? Because you know the way I love to analyze, I don't like imbalanced stuff where you only give a player a stick or only give a player praise and things like that. You know, I'm not for that. Believe in giving praise what there's praise to be given, and if there's criticism, you criticize, you know, accordingly, you know. But I'm not one of those guys, because it's in fashion to say, oh, this guy's crap. It's in fashion to hate on him. It's in fashion to just not rate him. And I mean, fine, you have your opinion on any player, but what that does is that a lot of time when this player does a lot of good things, it will never get talked about, because people treat it like an abomination to acknowledge the brilliance of a certain player or certain players. Now, when Lukaku came on, Inter started having a real threat and started creating big chances. Before that, they had situations. They had very, like, as I've talked about already, they had countless good situations. Countless of good situations. Countless to do something. But at the end of the day, they didn't. They were scared. I'm telling you, these guys were scared. They were pooping their pants. I'm not even joking. They were overthinking crosses. They were overthinking. Once you hesitate, think about football, is if you hesitate 1 second, the situation is not the same. It's changed. A millisecond, the situation has changed because players are moving. The ball is moving. It's about momentum. So, I mean, so if you delay a second, then maybe the ball you put will be behind me. It's that simple. You do not hesitate. If you delay a second, the defense would have recovered. These sort of things. You only have a second to catch them off guard. You only have a second to score a goal. You have to do it. You know, I can imagine, for example, if Virgil took a touch, Barella will be able to close it further. For example, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying they're not finishes, you need to take a touch, but it's about in each situation, you have to know what to do. You have to not delay more than, if you're meant to take one touch, don't take two touches. If you're not meant to take a touch, put a first time. Like, just play football. You are professional footballers. Just play your football. Like, the things that are expected of you, the things that you were not doing, like maybe crossing or putting in bad crosses, you can do that. You are professional footballers. You can. Everyone knows that you can do that, you know. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Romelu Lukaku, the guy who is now trending on social media, he came on, and to his credit, things that are happening, Inter started creating big chances, you know, because Lukaku, like, I even feel that they underutilized Lukaku still, even after he came on, despite all, like, not all, but most of the big chances and most of the in and around the goal action came in when Romelu Lukaku came in. But there was times I saw Lukaku was out wide, ready to dash it to. Let's not forget, Lukaku has pace. Lukaku is fast. Put the ball in the channels for him to run a few times. There was that ball, you know. It never came. Anyway, he's got a shot off on his right foot, you know. The ball was given him to outside the box, you know. Channel. Very good defending, I think, from Diaz. You know, not showing him onto his left. Goes to his right, fires it to central. Like, you know, you want to see your striker trying. You want to see your striker attempting. You know, that's the thing. You know, it's worrying if your striker is never getting shots off at all. You know, so that was good. The other one, you know, getting the ball on his left side. The thing is, actually, this current Lukaku is also not playing with the most confidence, you know, from 2 years ago. Once again, it's proven to be an extremely bad move for him leaving Inter. Like, you just have kept playing. He was playing on such a high level. You know, Lukaku backing down on the defender with his pace, and then the shakiness, you don't know where he's going to go. He can go left, right, and then boom, blast it in or dig the goalkeeper. We've seen this thing so many times for Belgium and for Inter Milan, but this time around he dragged his shot wide. Like, he already started getting a lot of stick at this point already because it's in fashion. And also, before this shot happened, he blocked the goal basically, but it wasn't his fault. I mean, he was there. There's nothing he could do. DeMarco headed it into him, and wow, tada, Lukaku blocking another goal from his team in a big, big match on the European stage. You know, so Lukaku was really getting the heat after, but all of this is fine. Like, man's trying. For me, where my beef comes in with Romelu Lukaku, bro, how did you miss that header? How did you miss that header? How did that happen, man? You know what? Like, let's walk through, because you know I like analyzing things. And hey, it's the positive about playing football. Like, if you play football at a good level, like, you understand what's going on the pitch, right? Lukaku's body position was facing his left, right? When the knockdown came in, or should I say the square play with the head? Beautiful play, very, very smart play, right? From who? I think it was Constance. Yeah, very intelligent. And Lukaku's body is facing the left, right? His left. Ederson is not exactly in the center, but centralized. Let's call it left center. Lukaku's left center, not the goalkeeper's. If it's the goalkeeper's, then you say the goalkeeper's right center. So Lukaku's left center, right? So Lukaku has some options, actually. He can just ditch wanting to go for the bounce and just head it, like, straight into his left side. Like, in the air, basically, like mid-range or high netting, you know what I'm saying? Just put it in, you know. That's one option based on his body position, is facing that way. So the momentum is already that way. Just do that, right? Cool. Another option, if it was to go for his right hand side where there was actually nobody, so Ederson wasn't there and there was no defenders there at all, you know, Lukaku would have needed to flick his head a bit or glance a bit or use like his temple, just like nod it in there. And this is his.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Bread and butter as a striker. Now let's rewind back to the part where I was talking about dreams. As a striker, I can't lie, this is your bread and butter and hot chocolate or coffee or tea. It depends on what kind of person you are. This is it. This is your bread and butter. A ball coming, free header. Come on now, in the Champions League final. I don't know if Lukaku slept well last night. I feel like he would have had nightmares because that was such a moment, you know. I feel it would be easier if Manchester City came in and totally dominated them and outclassed them and swept them off the park. They would just be like, yeah, okay, we're not good enough. But it hurts more because they were good enough and they'd win, but then they didn't. Anyway, going back to analyzing this chance. I understand Lukaku not wanting to like go corner on the side that is free because it's risky, you know. You're trying to glance it, you know, it's a knockdown, so it didn't have a lot of force, so you cannot like, you can't just put your head in and right, so he has to generate with like a flick of his neck, right? If he wants to go into that side, or even just like in out. And you might like, this is the thing I was talking about with the nerves. When you're nervy, you just want to go safety, you know, and you don't want to go too far because I can miss it. You're thinking about that, and then what does he do? He just plays it directly at the keeper, which is just right in front of him. If Lukaku had done exactly the same thing, right, you know, go for the bounce, a bit centralized, right, but bro, just a little, like this is still safety, but just a little. Is that how nervy you are that you couldn't just take a little sideways of the goalkeeper? You know, it's like when chances come to players sometimes, it's clear they don't even want it. And what I mean, like in their head, they want it. But when it, like, it's too big, like they don't even want it. They're flawed. They just want it to go as soon as possible. Like they just want to be get done with it. They're not calm enough in the moment to do what needs to be done, no matter how simple the task is. And this is football for you, because once you're nervy, I tell you, your legs will disobey you. I don't know if I've ever said the story of my first ever competitive penalty on here, but that's a story for another day. Point is that if you're nervy, your legs will disobey you. Facts. And I understand that, but you can't put, like, because if you're putting so much safety down, the place where you're playing is just directly straight at the goalkeeper, then bro, what's the point? You should have even left it, because I guess in what's called in reality, facts is that when you're trying to score, you're trying to not play to where the keeper, you're trying to beat the keeper. So playing into the keeper is kind of like not what scoring means, is it? Exactly. I mean, unless you have it ahead and you let things go between your body. Just had to take that dig there. That's my max. Anyway, yeah. So that's it, right? And that's just like, that's the chance right there, you know what I'm saying, to equalize. Now, let's talk about Manchester City's goal. Fantastic from Rodri, who, by the way, had a really good game. Really, really, really good game. Like, the referee was, what I would say is this, I felt like he didn't blow for a lot of fouls, but however, both ways, so it's almost like he was consistent. And whether you agree or not with how the referee's decisions are made, if whether you believe, oh, this is a foul, or how, why is he not given a foul, you've got to respect consistency. Like, if there's consistency, I don't think anyone will complain, because you're like, okay, if kicks to the head are now allowed, fair, you know. So if the boom up the player of mine in the head, I'm like, that's bad, I'm vexed. But if my player kicks another player and doesn't get sent off too, fair fair, you know, and that's the case with the referee there. He allowed a lot of contacts which are actually fouls, but fair. And I feel like Rodri used that a lot. He used his body so much in that game, you know, covered ground as usual. And the goal was simple, you know. Rodri must have been watching my highlights. It's so clear to me Rodri was watching my highlights, you know. Ball falls down to him, you know what I'm saying? Just put that space there. It's a little window. Just wrap your foot around the defenders there. And it's cash money, baby. It is cash money. And once Man City got that goal, of course, the task from there was uphill from Inter, because Man City, what they did, even though Inter still had a lot of chances after that, you know, like, as we know, they had a lot of chances. You know, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this right now watched the game. However, but what Man City did better from there was actually, like, take time away from the game by keeping the ball, because now, like, they knew if we keep the ball, we can win it. Like, we've won, not even we can, we've won it, you know what I'm saying? Inter are not going to score without the ball. And Inter actually did very well to create dangerous situations when they got the ball. Like, I was actually impressed from that perspective, because there was times about City would just take off 3 minutes or whatever for Grealish, Bernardo. You're not getting the ball off them, just fouling them. That's when they're winning fouls, retaining possession, give them the ball, pass. You foul them again. There was no getting the ball off them, you know. So, but still, when Inter got the ball, they made something of it, you know what I'm saying? That was very, very good. Now, a special shout out here to General Jan Stones. What a player. What a player. Like, man. Now, this is the thing that Pep deserves credit for here, because admittedly so, I mean, he comes into situations where, like, he comes into, like, arguably the best teams in the country, right? About that, you get, let me just use the word arguably, just not so you get, so that's some facts, right? He comes into the team that's like, okay, they should be winning the league maybe once every 2 years or something like that, whatever. Like, a good team, a big team, right? That was there to win. However, you cannot even try to undermine his impact on the players and the team, you know what I'm saying? Or even what he tries to do, you know, like John Stones, ball playing CB, that's been his profile. He's had John Stones' time at Man City, he's had really good seasons, and he's had disappointing seasons, you know. It's been, but altogether, if you put his good seasons together, he's had, like, in his 7 years at City, he's had like 3-4, and that's good. I mean, of course, like, it's not everyone that's like, I don't know, KDB or something that's like, you're just like next level. Season now, you're going to be world class. However, having 4 good seasons, you know, in an era where you've won everything. Yeah, everything. I mean, okay, they've not won the Super Cup and Club World Cup. As Liverpool, like, now, Liverpool fans can't say to City fans, what are UCL? Where's the UCL? Yeah, we can say, like, where's your Super Cup? I mean, no one gives a hoot about that, but yeah. I mean, it's only a matter of time. Like, I mean, so Liverpool fans, you can still ask City fans, where's your Super Cup? Where's your Club World Cup? Because later this year, Manchester City are going to win those, and it's going to be all over. Anyway, back to Jan Stones. What do you guys think about my Jamaican accent? I don't think it's brilliant, but I just had to say it anyway. General Jan Stone. Anyway, yeah, back to talking about John Stones. Yeah, so, and just, I feel like if you've had, like, 4 good seasons in a very, 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 like, competitive era, where you've gone on to be the most successful team in the land and one of the most successful teams, or, I don't know, I'm not trying to calculate trophies now that each team has won around Europe, but basically up there, you know, you've done the three-peat, the Premier League. Wow, that's crazy. And if Liverpool hadn't won that one in the middle, bro, that's like 6 straight titles. Oh, it's not looking good, bruv. Premier League, it's not looking good. You guys are looking like a plantation right now. Honestly. Anyway, he's had a lot of good moments and he deserves his respect, you know. And even his new role as a defensive midfielder, I mean, like, this is what I feel Pep should inspire a lot of coaches with, that move. Meaning that, like, there's a lot of brilliant players who are very brilliant. Like, Stones was very brilliant as a defender when he was playing good. As I said, it's been a very inconsistent time. He's had world classes, he's also had iffy seasons. When he was playing good, it's clear to see, even if you watch John Stones at Everton, it's clear to see. That's why they bought him for how much? 50 something million pounds, you know, big money centre back signing back in 2016. You know, or was it 60 even, like, whatever. yeah, like 60 or something, whatever, right? That's why he's a very good player. You could see his skill set, though. I mean, people say, oh, he's soft sometimes, he played soft sometimes, like, as I said, inconsistencies, but he clearly had the skill set to do what he's done. Stones is a press resist. Stones is moving like Thiago Alcantara, you know, like he's bumping up and down, you know, giving his players options on the flanks, you know what I'm saying? So he's not just sitting as a DM, he's also like trying to do the eight. It's fantastic to see his ball retention skills, and it's just bravery from the coach knowing that a player can do something, so let them do it. You know, I mean, similar to maybe Klopp finally allowing Trent to like positionally play more in a midfield role where he can, you know, it's just about he can do it, like, you know, he can do it, so let him do it. And for Man City, it's been very fantastic. Of course, I've talked about Rodri. Many players didn't have their best games. Haaland, De Bruyne before he went off, you know, even Ilkay Gundogan, these guys didn't have their best games, you know, but it's what it is, you know, the trophies they have now. DeMarco, I just have to say something about Inter Milan before wrapping this up. DeMarco, Onana, goodness me. Like, I'm very sure Ederson would have gone on to Onana and said, wow, impressive display there. Onana created so many situations for Inter Milan. He made them return. He was breaking the lines with ground balls like 40 odd yards. The risk in passing like that, but it also screams ability. I love seeing ability on this play, man. Ability, fizzing the ball into your midfielders on the half turn, and then they have a situation, you know. Then they have basically his from his goal, he's giving them half space situations. He's putting them in positions, having the ball in the half spaces between City's defense and midfield. That was just absolutely brilliant, doing it time and time again, giving your team a chance, you know. And he also made a big save from Haaland, very strong left hand in the, I think it was the first half, yeah. That's like about Haaland's first real sniff of it. You know, Phil Foden should have scored his chance, you know. The turn, man. Ooh, bro. That turn, like, I don't want to get too descriptive, but damn, that turn. And then, you're presented with a chance. Once again, it was a very good goalkeeper for Onana, because I understand why Foden would go to that corner, yeah, but because of how, like, he's a big man, right, and you have a defender to your left, so Foden is not really thinking about opening up his body, so Onana kind of knew that Foden was going to go there, and he was ready, so he just anticipated it, so that's what made it look so simple, you know what I'm saying, look so simple, you know. But the space was there. The space was there for Foden. So maybe he should have put it more behind it, more effort, more power behind it, and maybe increase the height. But even if he increased the height a bit, that was to be a decent height for the goalkeeper. But brilliant anticipation from Onana, and made that look simple, you know. So all round together, a very good game, a very brilliant game, which Inter would feel like we should have won, or we should have taken it further, you know. Because as I said, Inter missed four big chances, like against Manchester City, right? You don't see, irrespective of how Man City play, you don't miss four big chances and win. Like, even as a Liverpool fan, right, and of course Jurgen Klopp being a manager and basically enjoying the most victories against Pep Guardiola, you know, I've seen my team beat Man City time and time again, virtually every season. I would say this: you have to be very clinical. You have to be, like, I remember the 4-3 game in 2017-18, spoiling Man City's unbeaten run, January 2018 it was. Liverpool, look at the goals they were scoring, Salah from halfway line. Mane, that shot was ridiculous. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I can analyze it so much as to how ridiculous that was. But it's not an episode of that. But that's just showing you what you have to do if you want to stand a chance. Even in the Champions League at Anfield with the lost 3-0, like, you have to be clinical, man. You have to. That's the only way to, like, call Man City and say, oh, you've not been quite there today, and I've caught you up. But apart from that, there's no chance. And if you know what I'm saying, man. It's yeah, no chance. So shout out to Onana, shout out to DeMarco. Nicolò Barella, extremely underwhelming. You cannot understand how underwhelming he was. His partner right there in midfield, Marcelo Brozovic, as usual. OG, such a good player. Like, Brozovic is quite funny because it's like no one really talks about him like that, but what a player. Like, even when Croatia got to the World Cup final, like, almost like he's the unsung hero, you know what I'm saying. Brozovic has a big claim for being I didn't say he is, but has a big claim for being the best player in his club and his country. Like, if we're talking about football actually being played, like, for real, based on performances, you know. Nicola Barella, let me go back to him. Very, 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 very underwhelming. Time and time and time again, he had the ball on his feet and he just didn't show that brilliance. He dwelled on the ball too long when he wasn't meant to. He ignored obvious passes. He ignored some really good obvious passes that would have been really dangerous, you know. He took too much time to cross. His shot was, and even simple passes, like getting the momentum wrong. I just said, it was just flustered. It was disappointing from Barella, because if Barella isn't coming to the party, if Lukaku isn't coming to the party, if Lautaro isn't coming to the, like, for example, right, the shot that, when I can't give the ball away and Lautaro just played it directly at, like, bro, Ederson is right there. He's right there. He's so big. There's no way, like, unless you stop the ball and then scooped it from under up, of course, that'll be very slow, like, a defender will just get. But it's like, and what was most disappointing in that chance, for example, was that you played with Lukaku for long, right? And even just watching Lukaku, I knew what he was going to do. He was going to run off the defender's blind side to, like, push them back and drop in, like, change the direction and drop in for the cutback. That's exactly what he did. Like, I'm like, Lautaro, why are you still shooting? Because if he cut back to Lukaku, that would have been a clear goal. I'm not saying Lukaku would have scored it. Because, man, I don't know that Lukaku knows how to just make himself the big talking point in all these games for not good reasons, you know what I'm saying? But still, that was very, very, very disappointing. You know, overall, I'm just going to end this by saying that Manchester City, long time coming, deserved, not because we're the better team than they were, but, like, because they've season in, season out, maintained a very good level and they've been rewarded.
Be number one, Tana Talk Soccer Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.